Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 Shivalik Bimetal Earnings Conference Call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Kanodia from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nikhil.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, I welcome you all to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Q3 FY24 Earnings Conference Call. Today, we have with us senior management represented by Mr. Sumer Gumman, MD of SEPPL, Mr. Rajeev Ranjan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kanav Anand, Head of Sales and Marketing. Without taking much of time, I would like to hand over the floor to the management for their opening remark, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good afternoon. Welcome to the earnings call for Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited, where we will be discussing our financial performance for the third quarter of fiscal year 2024 and the preceding nine months FY24. I'm pleased to have with me joining us for the call today Mr. Sumer Gumman, Managing Director of SEPPL, and Mr. Kanav Anand, Head of Sales and Marketing. Despite facing moderated market demand, Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited has demonstrated resilience in Q3 and nine months FY24. Our total income increased by 4.31% in Q3 FY24 to reach rupees 112.17 crore and by 8.88% over the nine-month period ending in FY24 to rupees 337.64 crore. These figures reflect our commitment to driving sustained growth and creating value for our stakeholders. Our EBITDA for the nine-month period ending in FY24 rose by 4.74% to rupees 81.03 crore, highlighting our continued focus on operational efficiency. Furthermore, our profit after tax improved by 3.56% to rupees 55.64 crore, underscoring the strength of our financial performance. We also witnessed significant growth in our thermostatic bimetal trimetal segment in Q3 FY24 and nine-month FY24, with sales increasing by 22.22% year-on-year in Q3 FY24 and 22.10% year-on-year in nine-month FY24. This growth, particularly in the Asia region, positions us well in the global electrification landscape and reflects the effectiveness of our strategy initiatives. We are well positioned in India's energy sector transformation and continue to build on our forefront position in catering to domestic demand, particularly in the smart meter and switchgear opportunities. While we encountered challenges in the Americas, particularly in the shunt resistor category, we remain optimistic about the future. As global markets recover and demand rebounds, Shivalik is prepared to capitalize on emerging opportunities and drive sustained growth. Looking ahead, we are confident in our ability to navigate evolving market dynamics and continue delivering value to our stakeholders. With a solid cash position of rupees 25 crore and rupees 68 crore generated from operations in nine-month FY24, we have the resources and agility to seize growth prospects and enhance shareholder returns. In the light, we are delighted to declare the board's approval of an interim dividend of 35%, that is 70 paise per equity share. In conclusion, I would like to express my gratitude to all our stakeholders for their continued support and trust in Shivalik Bimetal Control Limited. Let us begin with our question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. And the first question is from the line of Prateek Jain from Solitary Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, can you give me the split between the number of shunts that goes into overall two-wheeler and overall four-wheeler?
Number of shunts that go. Can you average four-wheeler or two-wheeler, what are the number of shunts that will go into potential business in the shunt or something? It varies. So basically, you know, there's no one general answer to this because shunts are used in various applications in an automobile. So in some cases, there could be only, we could be supplying only one shunt and the others could be part of other devices. In some cases, it could be 12 or 15 different components. So there is no one fixed answer as to how many shunts should go into one. It's probably an easier answer to give for a two-wheeler, because the battery management systems are not multiple and it's an easier system. So in most cases, there'll be maximum two components in a two-wheeler in case of two batteries. So, but for four-wheelers, it's very difficult to give this
standard answer
on this.
And what is the realization for this shunts in two-wheeler and four-wheeler?
Actually, the two things are again interrelated. Depending on the number of components, it can vary a lot. It can go from 20-30 rupees to 2000 rupees also. So again, it's somewhat the same answer as what it was for the first question.
So even the realization per shunt range is very wide.
Well, if the number of shunts and components are varying that much, so of course the value also of it would be varying accordingly, right?
No. My question is realization per shunt. So, you know, I agree that with a number of shunts, your value will go, but per shunt realization, is that range also wide?
Yes, because there are different types of different voltages of batteries that you're talking about, the size and the shape will definitely vary. The power would be different, so it will vary from one design to another.
Okay, thanks. That's for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. Firstly, I wanted the breakup for both the shunt and the bimetal side. So for the 9-month revenue of shunt, how much is from smart meter, how much is from the automotive category, and how much is for the power storage modules?
We have the application wise details, like from shunt side, the total.
I would say we would basically break this into different applications that our products go into. They go into automotive, they go into gas meter, they go into energy meter applications, and so on. Now, if you look at the shunt portion of the business, if you look at the automotive side, almost 50%, 60% of the total shunt business is into automotive applications. Then we have about 13-14%, 15% of our shunt business which goes into metering applications, and close to about 10%,
8 to 10% is into energy storage, and the rest is basically miscellaneous and other applications.
So this breakup was for this current 9 months, right? The 150 odd crore shunt revenue that we have done.
Yeah, which is purely of the shunt revenue, yes.
Okay. On the bimetal side, can I get a similar breakup?
On the bimetal side?
Yeah.
All of it is switch.
Mostly, most of the bimetal applications go into switchgear and circuit breaker applications, which is approximately 65% of our business. About 15 to 20% will go into appliance business. About 8% will go into gas metering applications, and the rest will go into other applications, small applications, miscellaneous ones.
Okay. And my other question was, we have been observing that for the current year, our realizations have been dropping both on the shunt and the bimetal side. And in spite of, you know, our volumes going up significantly on the bimetal side. So, is there any particular reason that because we are selling more in India, we are not able to fetch the same kind of realizations, or what is it like?
See, I think we mentioned that in the past also, the realization price will also be dependent upon the commodities, and the commodities have been easing down in the last 1 year, if you look at quarter-to-quarter, and it will obviously have a direct impact on our top line.
So this is more due to the raw material prices and not our... sale prices going down, average realizations per product of ours.
So the value addition remains the same. It's the metal impact and the reduction in the metal prices which will impact the sales price and the realization value.
So have our gross margins been affected due to the raw material prices? Because I understand that we are able to pass it on completely, right?
See, again, I said the impacts are passed down, but if you have, for example, a $10 copper to a $7 copper, $3 reduction in copper price will reduce the price of the top line. Now, it will not impact the gross margins.
Yeah, but as far as gross margin is concerned, this is due to the product mix. Because you see, in the last three quarters, we are having growth in bimetal rather than in shunt, and shunt has a little edge over the margin compared to the bimetal. So if we are going in bimetal, there must be a reduction in gross margin to some extent. Yes.
But I understand our shunt revenue has picked up again in this quarter, right? We are more or less sitting again at that 45-55 kind of a ratio between shunt and bimetal this quarter. Still, our gross margins have dipped significantly.
No, but we have seen a 4% reduction overall. If you look at from last year, we are talking about a 49-51 ratio to a 45-55 ratio.
Correct.
So there's still about a 3-4% gap in our overall product mix percentage, which is our impacting the overall gross profit.
Okay. So basically about the product mix. Due to the product mix.
Yes.
So my last question is on the contacts business of ours. How is that faring? I mean, because even that, we see that it's pretty much steady state. We are not seeing a lot of growth there.
I'm not sure if you've, from our previous calls and, you know, the data that we've been giving out related to this business, we are currently running our plant at a near full capacity, for which the plant is under construction. So what we are doing as of now, whatever growth we are achieving in that is basically just, you know, whatever best we can do by improving the processes in the existing plant. Otherwise, we are in desperate need to increase that capacity for which we are building a plant. So, you know, real growth numbers will start showing up in that from when the new plant is ready, which we expect to have by the first phase of it starting by the middle of this year.
What are the capacity utilization there?
Therefore, for 80 to 85% of all our product types, we are running at over 100% capacity. We are running multiple shifts. We are running at more. We don't have the space actually in that plant. So a lot of
overall level, shunt and bimetal.
Shunt and bimetal.
That is at the
39% level, yeah. Capacity level right now.
Yeah, I didn't get the number.
Because of the reduced
shunt. I didn't get the number. How much is on the shunt and bimetal?
35-36%. After the recent expansion that Chualik had done for both shunt and bimetal, after that the capacity utilization has come down to about the 37-38% range.
Yeah. Level. Fair enough. I learned back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Doshi from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Can you please repeat the end market breakup for the shunt resistors again? I missed that.
The breakup of?
The application breakup of.
Yeah, what I said was that our automotive is somewhere around 70% of the shunt, total shunt business that we do, 65 to 70%. We are doing energy meters, which are approximately 13 to 14, 15%. And we have about 7 to 8% in energy storage, and balance is miscellaneous application.
Okay, and within the autos, how much of the electric vehicle versus ICE?
I think right now it is still a 65-35 ratio. EVs are still kind of at a stage where we are still seeing that they are more right now in the news rather than actual actual market. But yes, that portion of the market is increasing, but still the proportion is much lower than the ICE engine.
That's about 35%.
Yeah.
Of the 70. Okay. So, we've been talking for a few quarters now about how there's an inventory correction kind of going on. Obviously, the volumes are not down as much globally as far as when you look at the cars. So, is this inventory correction largely over? And, how are you seeing demand from the shunt side? That's number one. And number two is, I think in your AGM, you had mentioned that while there's a lot of talk about smart meters, implementation on the ground could take some time. But now with the new, initiative by the government talking about solar panels, on the houses, do you see a significant pickup happening on the smart meter front?
I'll start with your first question. Inventory correction, yes, of course, that is still happening. Parallel to that, I think we are also seeing that the North American market, automotive market, has been muted in terms of it's not growing, and it is kind of on the negative trend. But at the same time, in fact, I was just recently in that part of the world, and the feedback that we are getting is the good part is that we've not lost any opportunities. Neither our customers have lost any opportunity, neither we have lost any customer. So looking at how things are, we see that that second half of 2024, we'll see that the North American market demand should start picking up again, and which clearly indicates that the inventories are coming to a level which is acceptable to the industry. And on the, I think the second part of the question was, can you just repeat that second part of your question, please, once again?
Yeah. The second part of the question was in smart meters. In your AGM, you mentioned that, while there's a lot of excitement around it, there could be delays in terms of implementation and actual volumes picking up. But I'm just wondering, with the government announcing the rooftop solar project, which would, I'm guessing, require a lot of smart meters attached to the houses, do you see much more traction, and how are you looking at that business from the next 2-3 years perspective?
Absolutely. In fact, smart metering is now becoming more and more interesting for us. In fact, we already started seeing results in our domestic shunt-related business. It is growing, and we expect this to continue to grow in 2024-25 as well. And it is definitely in now in the market. It's come to a stage where the tenders are now actually being started into going into production.
Related to the rooftop solar initiative of the government, I mean, have you done any kind of analysis of what this means for you from a addressable market perspective?
I think it's too early to kind of get an idea on that. However, of course, this is definitely going to bring value in terms of opportunities or the shunt business, but how much of that, what designs would come in, what kind of resistors it would kind of use, that still I think is a very early stage to kind of identify how much of that will kind of transform into an opportunity for us.
Okay, okay. Just one follow-up on my first part of the question. You know, you mentioned that in your conversations with customers that that you've not lost share and they've not lost any opportunity. You know, I mean, is this mainly anecdotal or, you know, do you get industry data which kind of confirms that you've not lost market share?
No, it is also, it's clearly reflecting in the industry data as well. You see the North American automotive market is clearly showing signs where the transition of moving into the hybrids and the high-end ICE engines as well as the EVs was slower than what it was anticipated. So obviously we see that in the last couple of years, there has been a certain level of inventory piled up with our customers, which is now getting liquidated.
Okay, okay. All right, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Aman Vijay from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first question is on the Metalor MOU which we have signed for the bimetal JV. So can you give further update on the same? When can you expect something concrete on this? How big investment are we planning to do? Is it the same product or this will be a totally new category of bimetals?
This is for the contact business, the silver contact business, which used to be a joint venture with Chicon until a couple of years ago. Then it is a wholly owned subsidiary of Shivalik at this point. And I was just a few minutes ago, I was mentioning about this plant being run at full capacity and a new plant under construction. This is for that business. And the MOU that was signed with Metalor, currently we are in a stage where we are constructing and working on business plans to assess what kind of products we would like to add or what kind of capabilities we would like to add. So basically, along with the due diligence process, we are in the midst of all of that. And as soon as that process is complete, we should have an idea of as to how we are proceeding with the joint venture and what we are planning to invest, and those details will come out. But as of now, we are in the process of creating that. We are at pretty advanced stages of it, so I wouldn't be able to put a timeline to it, but I would say soon we should have the dates of etc. and the numbers available about what kind of investments we are looking at.
Sure. Just one clarification before I move to my second question. So we already have our own new facility coming up for contact, right? So then you will have, we'll be selling on our own and then maybe something through JV as well. This is the plan?
No, we will probably, that is what part of this due diligence process will give us answers to what kind of an arrangement we are planning to make and what kind of is most suited to both companies. Metalor is the global leader when it comes to precious materials, refining precious materials, manufacturing, as well as silver contacts. And we are very pleased that they have, you know, they are working with us to go ahead with this, because of course for reasons I don't need to mention, to go with a world leader for a product is always going to bring benefits in the long run.
Sure, sure. That helps. My second question is on the market situation, both in shunts and bimetal. So on the shunt side, if you can first talk about, because in the commentary, I believe there were hints that by the end of this financial year itself, you might see some uptick. But in the initial question, you've talked about maybe second half of this year, so calendar year. So if you can just talk about, is it in one quarter or is it like still 2-3 quarters away? And because you were also highlighting the point that there was shortage of capacity from our side. So is the demand an issue? Is the capacity an issue? Is both the issue? If you can just help us clarify. And similarly on bimetal side, there was shortages last year. So is the shortages still ongoing because some of the competitors shut down? Or is the situation now becoming normalized? Because bimetal never used to grow at such fast rate. So do you expect the bimetal growth to go back to that low single digit kind of levels, or do you think this high double digit kind of growth can sustain for 1-2 more years?
No, I think I'll take your question one by one. So first, of course, on the capacity, because it's a faster one. On the capacity, I think you got a little confused. On the shunt and the bimetal side, we are working at about 38-39% capacity. So we don't have any capacity shortage there. What we were talking about, the capacity constraint, was on the silver contact business. So that is the SCPPL, which is the 100% subsidiary of Shivalik. So again, when it comes to Shivalik operations on bimetal and shunt, we have enough capacities to kind of cater to the upcoming demands. Secondly, on the demand side, as I said, that if you look at it, we've kind of our numbers are very positive. When you talk about the Asian market, the Europe market, our numbers are growing pretty strongly there. What we've seen in the last 1 year is that the North American market has been very muted, which has kind of impacted the overall growth. So, but if that comes back, we are more than confident that we will come back to the previously projected numbers that we had anticipated. So that's specifically why we were in that market with the customers to kind of assess where we are right now on that. And as I mentioned, the second half of the year, we are seeing that the demand is going to start picking up. We are going to start seeing, we are already seeing a lot of customer engagement happening right now on the schedules and the forecasts and numbers that are coming forward. Looking at all that and looking at the ordering process and from the time we would start supplying to them, that's why we feel that the second quarter of next financial number is where we'll start seeing the numbers picking up again.
And on the bimetal side, if you can talk.
Okay, on the bimetal side, of course, a lot of growth, yes, on the competition side, I think that has already stabilized. That was, in fact, stabilized last year. This year, we've seen a lot of growth coming from the local domestic market. We have seen that the markets have been very strong, and a lot of emphasis has been on infrastructure upgradations and improvements. And, of course, we are now coming to a period where, of course, we all know it's election time. So in a couple of months, we might see that there might be some effects because of the election coming in, but we all anticipate that if there's continuous, this continuous growth in this specific area will happen. And that's why I think for the next couple of years, this should be sustainable.
Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. So my first question is with regards to the smart meter shunts business. The last time we spoke on the previous call, I think you indicated somewhere along the line of 10% of your shunts business being domestic shunts business being from smart meters. This time you indicated somewhere around 13-14%, and you'd also indicated that you wanted to double next year. given the fact that you are now looking at it more positively and you are seeing the implementation pickup come in, is there a change in the guidance or should we expect any different numbers for domestic shunt contribution of smart meters?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think on the metering side, we will definitely see these numbers grow exponentially, and which will impact, which will definitely going to affect the overall contribution of shunt in the metering application. And we are expecting a solid growth perspective when it comes to the smart metering application for our product.
There is no material change in the guidance. 20% is what we should work with right now as well.
In fact, if we see the local growth on the shunt side, we've seen that it's about 30%. So I think an anticipation of that much would be reasonable too.
Correct, understandable. Okay. My second question is on the silver contact side. Since you said that we currently have an issue, and the last time we spoke, you said the Metalor JV was something that we were exploring, doing a feasibility study on, and then we'd figure out what we want to do about it. So has there been any update on that progress? Because you said some facilities underway.
As I just mentioned, that currently we are with Metalor, we are currently working on certain business plans, etc., and we are working on feasibility study of what we have to, what are the best products to jointly manufacture, whether we would like to get into something new, or we would like to improve certain processes, and then what we need to do, and that will help us assess what kind of investments we are looking at. And other than that, there's a due diligence process that's going on between us, and it's at pretty advanced stages at this point because we've been doing that for the last three, four months. So we are at a stage where we should be arriving at certain conclusions in very soon.
And what about the current facility that is being constructed for the silver contact?
Yes, that is under construction at a location 10 kilometers ahead of its current facility in between Solan and Shimla. And that's, we started construction about 18 months ago. We are at almost ready stages. The plant should be functional maybe in another 5 to 6 months.
And what is the peak revenue potential of that facility, if you could just...
With this, the level of investment that we have done, we are looking at about 250-300 crore levels of revenue generation. But then we have designed the plant in such a way that more space can be added. And there, I can't answer that at this point because I don't know what we will create there and what revenue it can add. But in its existing phase of what we have created, it can have a peak revenue of about 250-300 crore.
Right, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so one question. I think last quarter you guided that 10 to 40% growth you can expect. But based on the current situation, what's your quantitative number? I heard a lot of qualitative aspects on it. So where do we stand on that 10 to 40% growth?
Currently, if you what we were talking a little earlier, our main reason why the growth is looking what we were expecting to be at versus where we are, we see a difference in that mainly because of the automotive shunt requirements, specifically of North America. So that is at a minus number. So that is causing all of the other product types, which are at a, ranging from 25 to 30%, even 35% in some cases, like energy meter, smart meters, for example. And all of those are looking at an overall 10% growth because of the negative of the automotive. Now, where we see that changing is in maybe in the second quarter of next financial year or second half of this year, calendar year, which is what the information we have from our customers. And even if that market was to remain like that, we still have a positive outlook there in that particular area because we have added new business as well. So even if the market situation doesn't improve, we will see our revenues still improving in the near future. So there we feel that, we see that change. Now, that if that changes, if the market situation, the automotive market situation in the U.S. changes,
we will see a very substantial growth, and which is why that number at huge variation of a 10 and 40 came. That the moment that changes and all these other areas remain at a 25-30% growth, then we will look at a 25-28-30% growth level. That is a possibility. We just need to see the US automotive market improving. That is actually the only one thing holding us back, which is actually something that's in a way for good also, because we know it's only that one thing and it's not multiple problems we are dealing with. But then it's also obviously because there is a heavy portion of our sales that were being supplied to that area for this particular application. So obviously it is having this kind of an effect. But we do see it as a temporary situation.
And of course, one thing that I would like to add is that the advantage today Shivalik has, because we are into these diverse applications, that some specific markets falling down and everything, we still see a certain level of growth. Which if you look in our, if you look at competition going into some similar product lines who are heavily dependent on specific automotive markets only, they are showcasing negative growth. So I think that's where the spread of our products into various applications does provide us a certain level of breathing space.
Okay. And regarding this energy storage, I think your end user market, so how are you seeing, because I see a lot of investment across the world, even in India, a lot of plants are going to come. So how do we see that vertical growing for us?
See, as you rightly said, it is at an investment stage. We are very excited. It is going to bring a lot of opportunity. Question is, in what form and what proportion is something we will probably know a little later in the whole ecosystem once the designs and once these products are clearly established, then we will have more clarity on that.
So is it like 1 to 2 years later sort of thing? Or?
I think 2 to 3.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the smart meter opportunity in India. If you could just give us a sense of what kind of value on an average would go. I think you have a 65% market share. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And what would be the overall, from a top-down perspective, if you look at it, what kind of opportunity do you see for players like you in the smart meter, domestic smart meter market?
I think, interestingly, you can look at the smart relay opportunity brings us value to Shivalik in two forms. One is on the shunt side and one is from the contact side. So looking at the basic opportunity that we will have, it would be approximately 60 to 70 rupees per meter is what we would be contributing into it.
Yeah,
and you can kind of estimate, you yourself would be smart enough to kind of estimate the size of the market, the quantities that would be manufactured, and the opportunity that will bring in for sure. In fact, that's on the lower side, but that is obviously going to be the maximum volume also. But there are also certain types of meters that we are supplying into where the product value is actually about 300 to 400 rupees. But that's a smaller volume. But I think a 60-70 rupees as an average is a fair number to take.
Okay. And so my second question is, last year or in the recent years, we had expanded our capacities in shunt and bimetal, and currently we are at like sub 40% utilization. Ours is a very niche market. So, I mean, if you look at the peers, do you see any kind of, more capacities being set up at their end as well, which could, make this market share grabbing thing challenging for us? If you could just give us a sense of supply side addition, capacity addition.
At the moment, on the bimetal side, we don't really see anything coming up. In fact, till last year, we had seen shortages in the market, so we kind of were in a position to grab more opportunities. On the shunt side, also, I think right now we feel that we are very sufficiently placed in the market. And in fact, the idea in the market is also to not build in capacities to an extent that it commoditizes the product line. So right now, I don't see such kind of a challenge coming in. Of course, with more and more growth coming in, we will definitely see some competition coming in. But I think with the economies of scale and the opportunity of being in the low-cost manufacturing side, we are ready to bring it on.
Okay. And sir, lastly, like we have seen a lot of, you know, auto sector tends to be cyclical, and currently we are facing some kind of downturn because of what's happening in the U.S. auto. So going forward, let's say, you know, if you look at 5 to 8 years from now, do you see auto more as an opportunity, or is it something that you would like to diversify away from?
No, I think right now our focus definitely remains on the auto side because we see that there's a lot of potential coming in for our kind of products currently, as well as the new products and new designs that are coming in. So our focus definitely remains there, but that does not mean that we don't. We are privy to the aspect that there is always a risk to remain in a specific application, and that's why we like to remain diverse and go into multiple sides of the product lines and applications.
Okay.
We will continue to do that.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran. As individual investor, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My first question is, our components are very small in size and weight, which is bimetal and shunt. So I was wondering, our export, do we do it by ocean or do we air ship it?
Both.
Both.
We do both by air and by sea.
Okay.
But even if they're small in numbers, we're talking about tons of material that go in, so shipping it by air, some can be very expensive.
Okay. Okay. So in terms of percentage, what would be roughly, it would be 75-25, which is ocean and...
Yeah, 75-80% would go by sea. 20%.
So, yeah, okay. So related to that, so are we affected by the Red Sea situation right now?
Yes, we did. In fact, the world is affected by it in terms of, we see that there is a lot longer and a larger time required for movement of materials. But in terms of, I would say in terms of our supply chain, in terms of our supplies to the customer, those 3 weeks are still manageable.
Is there any cost impact?
No.
We saw this increase, but it's transferable to the customer. Rates are...
Okay. Passed on to the customer.
Yeah, passed on to the customer, yes.
Okay. Thanks. And my last question is, this is regarding the promoter stake sale, which happened a couple of months back. So I just wonder, I would like to know, is there any further promoter stake sale planned, or are promoters done with the stake for now?
No, there is no intention of selling any more stake. There is no such plan also.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you can press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Akash from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question was on, was to understand what kind of margins do we generate on the contact side of the business?
What kind of margins?
Contact side.
What kind of EBITDA margins do we generate in the contact side, gross and EBITDA both?
It's about 11%, currently at about 11%-12% EBITDA margins.
Okay. And with the plant coming up and capacities coming in line, or do you feel this has a tendency to move up, or have we peaked out?
No, we expect to see it going up for two reasons. One is that the new plant, you see, the previous plant was built very organically over time and, you know, in a sort of an ad hoc manner. So with the new plant, we will have more refined and more efficient processes. So that will have some improvement that should cause some improvement in EBITDA margins. Also, we should be able to, you know, have higher volumes as a result of it, because there's a lot of business potential that we already have in hand with our existing customers, as well as some more new opportunities. So we see with that going up and our overall sales going up, we would see an improvement in margins there as a result of that as well. So, it's very important for us to, you know, quickly get into the new plant and start.
So can they increase by 3-4%? Like, can we hit 15%?
Sorry, what's that?
Can we touch the 15% kind of EBITDA margin range in the contacts business?
I would say that's a little bit hard to reach maybe that level. I would imagine like a 1.5-2% improvement is more realistic unless we change substantially our product mix and get into certain other types of products, which opportunities with our, in the future can come in, but don't see it happening in the near future because this is a, this is a business that also has certain competition in India. Also, it is a high value material oriented kind of a product. So in many cases, it's 85-90% material costs involved, the primary raw material being silver. So as a result, this is generally a lower margin generating business across the globe. In fact, when we compare with other similar companies doing similar kind of components, we see our margins actually on a more healthy side as compared to other companies.
Got it. Got it. What would be
the Sorry to interrupt, sir. I just request you to rejoin the queue, please.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Jain from Solitary Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. So I have a couple of questions. One is, can you give me the split between shunt sales between different industries, auto, your auto, smart energy and energy storage, smart meter and energy storage?
I think we gave this.
I missed that.
Oh, you missed that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you look at what I said, it's 65%-70% is between automotive. Energy meters is about 13%, 13-14%, and about 8% is energy storage, and rest is miscellaneous.
And was it the same in 2023? So this is for 9 months FY24, right?
Yeah.
And how was it different in FY23?
In FY23, I think in that case we were 10% was energy meters, and automotive was somewhere roughly around 67-70% of our total revenue, and then 10% was 7-8% again was our energy storage, and then the balance was miscellaneous.
Got it. And so one more thing, can you please again highlight the point that what's the difference between the shunt and biometal gross profit margin and EBITDA margin?
So for biometal, the gross margin is somewhere in between 44-46%, and for shunt margin it is somewhere in between 48-52%.
And on EBITDA level?
EBITDA in combination that comes down to in the range of 23-26%.
So for both shunt biometer and EBITDA will increase, right?
Yes. So if you combine both the products, and you'll see that EBITDA will always be in the range of 22-26% level.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. In conclusion, I wish to express my sincere gratitude for your presence today and your participation in Shivalik Growth Journey. Should you have any further question or insight, please feel free to reach out to Dickenson. Thank you for your continued support, and I wish you a pleasant day.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.